Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It is amazing, you know, that you hear people talking historical slavery, and it's like, this is like right now.
Yeah.
You're going to hear in our future program that people from Venezuela are going to Colombia and carrying their money to Colombia to buy food because there's no food in the socialism environment called Venezuela. And when they show up with a month's worth of wages, the people in Colombia are having to tell them that they can only buy 2 days worth of food. Their entire month's wages only buys them 2 days worth of food. And this is like right this moment. This is like right this moment. And now you're watching where the government saying you're going to have to be a servant of the government. Nothing's for free. Mm-hmm. One particular man said that socialism and communism is a temptation for the human nature of men. Our sinful part of us, where we want somebody else to do the work and somebody else to pay the bills and somebody else to do the job. And with that, you're looking at right this moment. And I remember when Chavez, who's dead now, but he got up and he went to shake the hand of President Barack Obama when he first got into office. And he got up, went across the room and gave him his book. And little did he know that his life would be called from him during that time. He had no idea that his life would be called. And so here we are today talking about going into servitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, you know, it's like, but that's what God was talking about with us. It just, if, imagine this. Imagine our economy crashing, our dollar no longer having its value anymore. That's what's happened. Their particular money lost its value, and now an entire month's wages can only buy 2 days worth of food, and they don't find this out till they fill their buggies up in Colombia in the shopping centers. And the people, the clerk has to tell them, your money's not worth what it was worth a month or so ago. It is just like the Weimar Republic that we talked about. That in the Weimar Republic, they had to, the money fell so quickly in value that if you got a job for so much money for a week and started on Monday, by the time you got your paycheck on Friday, it totally lost all of its value. They said, listen, I'll work for you, but you're going to have to pay me on Monday because I'm going to go buy the groceries now Monday, because by Friday I won't be able to buy the groceries. And this can happen to every human being on the face of the earth. It's nothing new. Tyranny's been around. These type of governments have been around. The wrong mindset. And we're going to go and explore communism, capitalism, and socialism just based off of the free market and listening to Milton Friedman, who is reportedly one of the best known names for these type of things. But let's go back to the 60s. This is back when, you know, Saul Alinsky was on the streets and Hillary Clinton at that time was on the streets, and they're organizing with the Rules for Radicals, and they're protesting capitalism and saying it's bad. So here they are, they're confronting capitalism in this meeting with Milton Friedman, and see what he said here, because they're talking about colonization, they're talking about slavery, they're talking about historical profiting off of other people's wages. But let's go to that spot now. We're watching him talk.
The problem which a lot of us feel is, first, you did not mention in terms of the countries you were pinpointing, such barbarous countries as South Africa and Zimbabwe. And in terms of giving your appraisal of the riches that have been accumulated in the Western so-called democracies, capitalist democracies, I would like you to give us an honest evaluation of just how these countries got so rich so quick, and that direct relationship of that to the fact that there were slaves that worked free labor, and the wealth that was created in this society being a direct product of that relationship, and also of the colonial relationships of the Western European countries and the wealth which they bled out of the people in their colonial domain.
I will be glad to answer those questions. First of all, there's a sense in which every country in the world is capitalist. Soviet Union is capitalist. Every country in the world has large capital under control. And the real question is, of course, the organization whereby the capital is controlled. In the Soviet Union, it is controlled by the state or by officials of the state. In the second place, I have been talking for an hour. I would like to talk to you for 10 hours. In a full discussion, I would certainly agree with you that capitalism is not a sufficient condition for freedom. It's a necessary condition for freedom. I never said that wherever you had capitalism, you had freedom. I never said that. I never made that statement. I made the opposite statement. Wherever you had freedom, you had capitalism. Capitalism is a necessary condition for freedom, but not a sufficient condition for freedom. In addition, you need relatively broad access to capital and a relatively free market. Again, relatively. You need competition. I usually refer to it as competitive capitalism to distinguish it from certain kinds of systems which have been capitalist and have all of the bad qualities that you describe.
God is trying his best to build a trust in us, to convince us that he's dependable and that he is trustable. Don't you know that anybody can sing a song of deliverance after they've been delivered? God is not surprised at where you are. God is not surprised at the predicament you're in. And God has brought many of you to the place where you are right now, and he's going to bring you out of it with a great victory. We've seen so many miracles that God has done for us through the years. I want to ask you a question. How many more will it take for you to believe that God is going to take care of you? So here's what God's saying is, when I bring you to the Red Sea, I want you to learn to sing before the sea parts. Don't sing it after you get on the other side. Praise him right now. Praise God right now. I'm going out with a song, praising God, glorifying God. Oh my!
At a news conference shortly after his 1985 inauguration, Ronald Reagan said,
"The Bible contains an answer to just about everything and every problem that confronts us, and I wonder sometimes why we don't recognize that one book could solve a lot of problems for us."
For both his 1981 and 1985 inaugural oaths, Ronald Reagan used the King James Bible belonging to his mother, Nellie Wilson Reagan, on both occasions open to 2 Chronicles 7:14, to a passage beginning with, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves."
President Reagan spoke fondly of her many margin notes and underlined passages in a 1983 Mother's Day tribute, saying, "My mother Nellie made all those marks in that book."
Engage with the Bible, with this book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so important because that's an honest man saying, listen, it's not perfect, but it's the best system there is. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is what he said. Let's repeat that again.
History suggests that capitalism is a necessary condition for political freedom. Clearly, it is not a sufficient condition.
That's very important to understand that it's not, nobody's saying that it's perfect, but you know, and no man is perfect, but there is a more perfect system. That's what they talk about in the Constitution, the preamble of the the U.S. Constitution talks about a more perfect union.
More perfect union.
Not a perfect union, but a more perfect union.
Yeah.
And capitalism has made, set more men free, has blessed more folks because of the prosperity, but yet you still have the men's sin nature in the context of that. This is one thing that we're not going to be able to have Freeman say, but we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. As he said when he's in this particular discussion, as they were challenging, you know, America's freedom and, you know, where did the wealth come from and that type of thing. I mean, he explains it really well. But he said this. He said, listen, wherever you find freedom, you'll find capitalism. And somebody immediately says, that's not true. And he says, no, I'm not saying where there's capitalism, there's freedom. What he says is, where there's no capitalism, there's no freedom. So when we give up, when you hear people on the streets protesting against the capitalism, and the narrative is to come against the police, come against the way our government works in capitalism. We'll talk about what that means today, that they're coming against the actual idea of freedom. And God will turn you over to yourself as a nation if we don't repent. The answer is not politics, but we need to understand how we're being judged if we don't if we understand that we're about to go into servitude if we don't turn back to God. God's not going to just say, hey, I'm just going to back off, let you have the country, just do all the twisted things you want to do, darkness you want to do. And I mean, it's going to be significant consequences for America if we do that. And we've talked about that before. You know, July the 7th at like 4:37 in the morning, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence was awakened by the Lord, and God showed him the United States of America and the word Ichabod, which means God's pulling his hand, the glory's departed, God's leaving America, begin to appear over the United States. But then it never fully appeared, and then it starts to fade away. It's like, it looks like it's going to happen. In other words, we can go this way if we don't repent. And so we understand one way that judgment will come upon America is we will become more of a socialism or a socialistic government or communistic government, which means this: the government wants to replace God. When you hear big government, they're saying, listen, we need government to, that's where your rights come from, some of our current leader said. Your rights come from government.
We'll take care of you.
We'll take care of you. And that's what the President Obama said. That's not true. Your rights come from God. And but you can be disciplined by being put under a tyrant. So I want to remind you one more thing that that Milton said, which I think is very, very important, because you're hearing people right now talk about, you know, that we just need equality for everyone. And why not? I mean, the Constitution talks about everybody needs equal rights. But when you put one above the other, when you put equality above freedom, you don't have any either. Mm-hmm. So people are using the sin nature of humanity, like God turning us over to it. We talked about, is America under God's judgment? Three phases of judgment. Let's just take a look at the evidence and see what it is. We have that available for you for all of our VFN TV partners. It's right there. You can become a partner for any amount and see it. You need to see it before it closes in so we can repent. But he says, if you go, as a matter of fact, listen to what Milton said here, and we'll talk about it. It's so important, because if you're hearing people right now say equality, 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 and nobody's even thinking, it already says it in the Constitution. We already have equality. The question is, do we want freedom? And when you lift equality over freedom, you don't have either. Listen to what he said. A society that puts equality before freedom will get neither. A society that puts freedom before equality will get a higher degree of both. I mean, think about that. If we want freedom, we're going to have to put freedom first. Because where there's no freedom, you don't have freedom to be equal. Now you're actually a slave of the government, like Venezuela. I mean, this is what's going on. So you think about this, that you're the narrative, which means this: if, in fact, the people that want to run for the president of the United States, all of them, I don't care what party they're in, if they're saying they want big government, they're saying they want equality for everyone, and they're not even talking about freedom, guess what's going to be the cost? According to Milton Friedman, we're going to lose our freedom. We're not going to lose our freedom because of a political party or a bad candidate or something like that. We're going to lose our freedom because we turn our back on God. We go into a place of captivity when we turn our back on God. God's going, listen, this is the direction. This is what he says. He says, listen, I will warn you. I will tell you in advance, prophetically, of a storm that's coming your way so that storm can stop. So this is a warning. It's amazing how accurate, again and again, what God is saying to his people. He's letting us know before it happens so it doesn't have to happen, so Ichabod doesn't appear over the United States of America. And right now, you're hearing constantly, people are in the streets going, equality for cockroaches, equality for dogs, equality for everything. It's like, yeah, I care about everything too. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Constitution, it says everybody in America has equal rights, equal protection under the law. I mean, that's for everybody. So there is no... But if we put that over freedom, we won't have either one of them, according to Milton Friedman. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue this conversation, and we're going to find out, what is this isms communism, socialism, and capitalism, because there's a huge difference. They used to teach AVC, Americanism versus Communism, in high school. You had to actually take it before you can graduate.
They don't teach it anymore.
They don't teach it anymore. Why? Because of the progressive agenda that's gotten into the education system since Woodrow Wilson, thank you, Woodrow, mm-hmm. that they wanted to be able to turn people back more to government.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, if you have not studied a presidency, studying Woodrow Wilson's presidency is very, very interesting, because he gets into office. He's a good speaker at New Jersey, I think in New Jersey at a university there, Princeton maybe. And they spied him out. I mean, they just went and saw him. The students would give up and give him a big round of applause. They saw he was a great orator, you know. And they ran him for governor, and he made it. And they ran him for president, and he made it. But when he gets to the presidency, his wife mysteriously dies. A socialite in Washington ends up marrying him. And he just, you know, he's a love letter type person, right. Writing love letters. Like Pat writes to Tracy all the time, this love, mushy love letter stuff. And, all of a sudden, he gets depression. Depression hits him. Mm-hmm. He gets sick, and she doesn't let people see him. And she's the one that begins to sign all the policies and the
he's never seen before.
Never
seen again.
They didn't see him.
Yeah.
And so she was actually the president. She was the first female president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wild? And that's when this whole agenda began that we're seeing now in our future program. You got to catch it, because right now, Satanist temples are wanting to put their clubs, Satan clubs, in the elementary schools across America. We can't talk about it now, but this is what's happening if we don't pay attention. And they're even quoting the city of Pensacola, where the city council, as you saw in our program, brought a Satanist in to be able to invoke Satan. Washington Post is talking about those two stories together. Pensacola, look what you did. And so we got to begin to shift these things, you know, back to the original intent. But we're going to have this offer for you. You got to hear this offer, and we're going to continue to talk about it. And we're going to break it down so much. We're going to maybe even have a cartoon to explain the isms, because isms are so, it's a temptation to your flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. Somebody comes up to you and says, listen, you'll never have to work again. You know, our vice president said, learn to play the guitar, learn some music, get a job, work, right? But he's not saying that. And so, and he says, get rid of your guns. All you need is a shotgun. Go out back and just fire a shot out the back, right? That's what he talked about. And so you're looking at, they're pressing in on losing our freedom. But it's tempting when somebody says, you'll never have to work again. We'll provide all the food for you, and we'll take care of you, and we'll take care of your health care. We'll take care of your everything. And Margaret Thatcher said this, we're going to go to this offer for you, is socialism works until you run out of other people's money.
Hmm. Yep.
You know, it's like living with your parents. That works until your parents say, you're going to have to get your own job, buy your own food, get your own car. I mean, you're 46 years old. It's time for you to progress in life a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Your parents and I are moving. You can have the house and the mortgage payment. We're going to blah, 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 Avenue. Our phone number is, please don't call us. We'll talk to you in 10 years.
Right? Yeah.
That's what God's going to do to us if we don't wake up. But listen, it is so important. Your partnership, standing with us at VFN TV on a monthly basis, praying, financially committing, and shopping with our sponsors. Mm-hmm. It's us together doing this for Him, keeping the conversation light.
We'll be right back.
The difference between God as a concept and God as a living reality is that a concept is something you believe in. You certainly believe in it, but it's like an accessory. It's like a credit card. It's a gym membership. I control it, and I shape it to meet my life and my needs, right? So I'm still in control. But God as a living reality is an objective truth to which you mold your life to.
Right.
And that was a big difference. And that set a lot of things in motion, especially a new understanding of the Ten Commandments.
What's the most common error made by parents in disciplining their children? I believe it's the inappropriate use of anger in attempting to manage boys and girls. Unfortunately, most adults rely primarily on their own irritation to make children cooperate. One teacher said on a national television program, "I like being a professional educator, but I hate the daily task of teaching. My children are so unruly that I have to stay mad at them all the time just to control the classroom." How utterly frustrating that would be, and how ineffective. Disciplinary action influences behavior. Anger does not. I'm convinced, in fact, that adult irritation actually creates disrespect in the minds of kids. They can see that our frustration is caused by our inability to control a situation. We represent justice to them, and yet we're on the verge of tears as we flail the air with our hands and shout empty threats and warnings. Now, I'm not recommending that parents and teachers conceal their legitimate emotions from their children. My point merely is that anger often becomes a tool used for the purpose of controlling children. It's ineffective, and it can be damaging to the relationship between generations. Instead, try taking a little corrective discipline that your children will care about, and then administer it with cool.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to back to VFN TV. I was reading this book by, the title of it is The World is Flat. Today's names are just Friedman.
Thomas Friedman, I think.
Thomas Friedman, yes. It's such a stimulating economic study.
Pretty powerful book, though.
It is powerful. Yeah. And he talks about the economy. Just this thing's just it's reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said China has this statement they say about America, and about it's from for quite some time they've been around about other countries as well. Every fifth generation, in other words, you are born and then you have kids, and your kids have kids.
Yep.
And then your kids' kids have kids.
Onto the fifth generation. Help you.
And that generation, they lose it. Yep. They totally don't know how food got here. They actually think that burgers are grown at a McDonald's farm somewhere. They don't realize it actually said moo before they said mick. You know what I'm saying? And they lose it. And we're in that generation now. Are we going to lose it? I think Milton Friedman had something to say about it. What did Milton say about that?
Those of us who have been so fortunate as to have been born in a free society tend to take freedom for granted and regard it as a natural state of mankind. It is not. It is a rare and precious thing. Most people throughout history, most people today, have lived in conditions of tyranny and misery, not of freedom and prosperity.
So you're looking at that, you know, tyranny is the normal thing.
Yeah.
Tyranny is sort of like... teenagers in charge of the household. Tyranny is like, mom and dad put me in charge of you. You know, wash my shoes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's amazing that when you travel outside of America, you see how much of a miracle.
Well, I mean, America, I think about tyranny when you think about Iraq. You know, when there was a big coup in Iraq, and all of a sudden this person who was running the coup called Saddam Hussein, he went into the parliament, and he had the former leader, who was against his coup, stand up in parliament and begin to read names off one at a time to say which one was against his coup. And they'd read one name off. So you had all these people in parliament read that one name off, and they say, like, you know, Steve Kalaszewski. And they would just stop, and the guards would come in. They would grab Steve Kalaszewski. They'd pick him up in front of everybody and tote him off.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, next one, Isaiah Ramos. You know, it's just starting to, it's people that you know. They begin to call all these names out, and they take them one at a time, and people are like terrified, going, he's going to read my name next.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to read my name next. And so they did that. Almost 50% of the parliament was called out. And so you're looking at the fear over, and this is worse, they said, than what Hitler did. We have this available for you on the VFN Torch. But then this is what he did. This is tyranny. This is what tyranny looks like. Then he says, the ones that remained, who were like sweating and just like, oh, we love you, Sodom, and all this kind of stuff. And they said, well, great. He says, here's pistols. Gave them all guns and said, now go out there. And the ones that we called their names out, you go out and shoot them. And they killed half of parliament.
Yeah.
Half of parliament. This is, you know, the word devil means one who gets in between and divides. Have you ever had a deviled egg before? It's like takes an egg. You cut it, boil it, cut it in half. You take the middle part out. They beat it all to heck and back, right? They put it back in there, and you have it cut in half. They called it a deviled egg because it got in between and split it in two. That's exactly what happened in Iraq. That's what happens when socialism and communism, that's what happened when Hitler came in and he was voted into office. And here you have socialism and communism. They were trying to bring capitalism into Germany. They had to pay back the debt that of the war that they caused. And next thing you know, their economy crashed like Venezuela, the Weimar Republic. The money was useless. And the same thing was going on. We don't have a lot of time to talk about that. But what happened? The Night of Long Knife. Suddenly, a political leader decided he wanted to go to the next level. And he blamed his political opposition, sort of like Saddam Hussein did, and had almost 100-plus folks killed in one night. They called it the Night of Long Knives, and he took over. It was crazy. We don't want tyranny. We want God. Listen, you cannot have government that's without tyranny, without God. You got to have God. That's why I said one nation under God. Yeah, there's issues with folks. We're sinful folks. I mean, you think about this. This is what Friedman said right here. He said, the problem of social organizations, which means all these different organizations that are out there, is how to set up an arrangement under which greed will do the least harm. And capitalism is that kind of system. Mm. I mean, you're never not going to have greed. I mean, who's really greedy when somebody's saying, I don't want to work. I want all your money. And I don't want to do nothing the rest of my life. That's more greedy than somebody saying, I want $1 million.
Yeah.
And so we have to begin to understand this. So there's a difference between communism, socialism, and capitalism. And America was founded, or originally around 1900, we began to really embrace capitalism. And if you look at the growth curve, and I don't have it for you, but imagine from here to the top of the studio, is the growth like this across the world, just a little bump. I mean, Solomon's wealth was about like, I don't know, get a camera through here where you can see this. So all of a sudden, Solomon's wealth was just kind of like on a graph. You had a graph like this, and this was time. It went like just Solomon, the richest man in the world, was like this. It was just small. But if you look right here, follow my hand, it goes all the way up to the ceiling since 1900s. Why? Because of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Because of capitalism. Helped more people. It brought freedom to more people. And it's an amazing thing that this experiment called freedom may be over with. So let's just take a look. What did they used to tell everybody so that we wouldn't end up losing capitalism? It's isms, capitalism, socialism, and communism. Mm. And you're seeing this. I mean, you see free campuses today where they are saying you can say what you want to say, but you have to say it in this one little painted box on the concrete right here, right? Free speech areas.
This is the constitution-only zone. This is where you can exercise it.
Yes. Yeah. And I prophesied about this a long time ago, and people just stared at me. It's difficult moving prophetically because, like, they think, you know, this is what I said. This is what God is saying. He said, this is where it will happen if we don't turn back. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.